I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome back to the Celtic Soul podcast. I'm Andrew Millen, and today on the show, I'll be speaking to Steve Han, South Korean journalist, and he'll be giving us the lowdown on our new signings and also maybe giving us an insight into and in general South Korean football. It's been another sad week for Irish music. Last week we had the sad passing of Sinead O'Connor after we paid tribute to Christy Dignam on the last podcast, the lead singer of Asin. Sinead will be sorely missed by anybody who's into Irish music. You know, she leaves a catalogue of wonderful music behind and many memories of gigs, a troubled soul at times and controversial, but when she broke onto the scene back in the 80s, beautiful skinhead, Dr. Martin's attitude. As teenagers, we all look towards her, and our musical career has been amazing. Some great duets as well, including one with Shane McGowan. So Sinead, you'll be sadly missed. R.I.P. kid. I just want to thank everyone who's been tuning into the podcast. It's available across all platforms. And if you're tuning in for the first time, folks, and you're tuning in on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button, smash the alarm button, and you'll never miss an episode. Give us the thumbs up. And also, leave a comment, please. Let us know what you think or what we're doing wrong, or if we're doing anything good, let us know. We'd love to hear. Folks, we put nothing behind a paywall, so if you'd like to support us, you can do so by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can subscribe, buy a fanzine, buy a T-shirt, or donate for the price of a pint. And if you're a Celtic-minded business and you would like to sponsor an episode, and we'd love to have you on board. We have some great sponsors on board. So just drop us an email, info@celticfanzine.com. And you can also contact us by private messages on social media. You'll find us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. So thanks very much to all our sponsors for the continued support. And without further ado, let's get Steve on the show. Hello, Steve. You're very welcome to the Celtic Soul podcast. Firstly, welcome. And it's your first time on the podcast. We've just signed a couple of players from South Korea. Could you just give us a little introduction for the listeners and the viewers into yourself?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me here, first of all. Yeah, it's really, really nice to be here. Just to introduce myself a little bit, my name is Steve Han. I'm a South Korean football journalist. I've been with Goal for about 15 years until last year. That was my home, I guess. But I left Goal to join a football editorial agency, Ganassa, who work very closely with Celtic as well. We have multiple clients across Europe and world as well. So we work with Celtic, we work with Manchester City, we work with Borussia Dortmund. We also work with FIFA. So I've been producing contents for a very prominent organizations and clubs, and so it's been a journey. Yeah, I'm into my 15th year doing this, so it's been great, man. It's really nice to be here. So thanks for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Now, Celtic was supposed to play in South Korea. It was supposed to be a homecoming of sorts for all. Celtic fans had made their way to Seoul, and they've been enjoying themselves over there. Now, there is some of them making their way back as I speak. But what happened? First of all, Celtic announced it, but there was never a fixture put out. There was never an official put out, but they did put a little promo video out. What happened? You know, how did the goalposts change? Why did the game not happen?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of glad you asked me that. But at the same time, I know how massively disappointing this is. You know, and from a Korean perspective, this is it's massively disappointing. I can tell you that. So, you know, as far as I know, what happened was the agency or the promoter who was supposed to be organizing this tour for not only Celtic, but for Wolverhampton and for AS Roma as well. So they were in charge of arranging these tours for three different clubs. But what happened?
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What happened was, just to give a little bit of a background, prior to Celtic's scheduled date for the tour in Korea, this same promoter was supposed to be arranging tours in Korea for Napoli and Mallorca, two clubs who no longer have Korean players, but at the time they had two very prominent Korean players, Kim Min-jae, who went on to Bayern Munich now, and also Lee Kang-in, who moved on to PSG. So these are two of the biggest footballers in Korea. And the plan was for them to arrange a friendly between those two teams in May, which would have been a really big deal in Korea. It would have been a big game. Obviously, would have been immensely popular amongst the Korean football fan base. But that didn't go according to plan because they couldn't work out a deal with KFA in terms of arranging the venue, in terms of, you know, the logistics of it. And from what I've been told, the plan for that particular promoter was to monetize that tour with Napoli and Mallorca as much as possible to be able to arrange these tours for Celtic, Wolverhampton, and AS Roma. But things didn't really work out for them because the earlier tour for Mallorca and Napoli was canceled. So it became logistically impossible for them. And we pretty much ran into a situation where things became a disaster for this company. I would be very surprised if they stay in business, to be honest with you.
And that's simply because the two huge players in South Korea had moved on.
Right. And, you know, that's why they were trying to arrange this thing in May, because they were suspecting that these players would move on once the transfer window opens. But when that didn't happen in May, you know, it pretty much became impossible. There was no point of trying to rearrange the friendly because the players had already left. It became a big disaster in Korea. Well, it actually became a very big controversy too, because from a Korean football perspective, it's quite embarrassing for something like this to happen. You know, five European clubs were supposed to visit Korea. It was canceled because of mismanagement by a promoter.
Yeah, and it's funny, when Ange Postecoglou left Celtic, I was hearing word back from Tokyo that interest had fell off in Celtic's game against Yokohama, even though we are packed with Japanese players.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. You know, and it's always tough, you know, trying to arrange these tours in Asia with Korean or Japanese players, or even managers who've been involved in Korean or Japanese football, because the popularity is obviously there, but once that manager or that player leaves the club, it sort of leaves things uncertain. You know what I mean? So it becomes very, a bit of an awkward situation as well. You know, because when the transfer, just like anywhere else, you know, in Korean football, you know, the transfer rumors and the news, those become a big deal. And when a when a tour is scheduled for a European club with Korean players, you know, there's always a question and concern. Is he going to be at the club when the club actually visit Korea? So that, there's almost a fear now. So I'm hoping that this, what happened this summer, doesn't really jeopardize the relationship between Korean football and Celtic, to be honest with you, because this has been a longstanding relationship between Korea and Celtic. I know there was a little bit of a gap between, you know, Chaduri and Ki Sung-yong, and then Celtic signing Oyungi. I know there was a big gap in terms of time, but this has been a very longstanding relationship. Celtic have had a very good image in Korea, in terms of, you know, the kind of relationships that they have with many Korean players now. So I hope this is not a situation where that relationship gets jeopardized.
Yeah, and on that note, we've signed two Korean players only the last couple of days.
Right,
they were unveiled to us at a hastily arranged press conference earlier in the week. So I hope I get the names right, Kwon and Yang.
Yeah, Kwon Hyuk-kyu and Yang Hyun-jun, two of the up and coming players in Korea. It's very interesting because these two players haven't really made a big impact at national team level yet. I mean, they're two of the biggest, you know, rising stars, you know, so to speak, in the K-League. So, you know, what's especially interesting about, you know, Celtic's signing of these all three of these players is that the fact that these players haven't made a huge impact at national team level, when Celtic signed Ki Sung-yong or when Celtic signed Chaduri many years ago, you know, these were two of Korea's top players at the national team level as well. And, you know, on the other hand, we look at a player like Oh Hyun-kyu, we look at a player like Yang Hyun-jun, we look at a player like Kwon Hyuk-kyu. They haven't really reached that level yet, but I'm not actually trying to put doubt on Celtic's signings, but rather I find it pretty impressive that Celtic went and did the extra legwork in terms of, you know, scouting these players to sign them, who have very little reputation outside of Korea. But those of us who know the K-League, we know how talented these players are, you know. And so for the hope for us is that if Oh Hyun-kyu, Yang Hyun-jun, and Kwon Hyuk-kyu, if they can do well at Celtic and be successful there, which we believe that they can, it'll open up more opportunities for young players in Korea who haven't been given chances to, I don't know how to put it, like maybe display their talents outside of the country, can have that exposure and have those opportunities to advance their careers on bigger stages. You know, it also, I think the most important thing is that it gives more incentive for young players in Korea to be motivated to start their careers in the K-League, because at times, you know, these guys are, you know, playing for mismanaged clubs in front of very little crowd in games. You know, it could be very demotivating some of these young players, especially, you know, but to know that there are, you know, big European clubs out there like Celtic scouting the K-League so extensively, where they starting to express interest in these younger players, you know, it's, I hope it becomes a motivating factor for them. And I believe that it will be.
Is the K-League as strong as the J-League, or where's the comparisons? Or can you just give us an insight into the K-League? Because I would imagine most of the listeners don't know much about it.
Yeah, no, sure. Well, I think when you ask an average Korean football fan, is the K-League better than the J-League? I think they would definitely tell you yes. You know, but objectively speaking, I would say that they're at a very similar level. But to be completely honest, I do believe that the J-League is a better managed league overall in terms of how players are developed, in terms of, you know, clubs having structures where they can, you know, constantly develop talented young players. I don't think the K-League is quite there yet. But the interesting thing about Korean football is that you look at some of our biggest stars, like, you know, obviously Son Heung-min at Spurs, or, you know, Kim Min-jae at Bayern Munich now, or Lee Kang-in at PSG, and some of our biggest players that we've had over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, like Park Ji-sung or Ki Sung-yong, players like that. It's very interesting because it's very rare to see a star player out of Korea who've gone through the proper steps of being developed at K-League clubs. When you look at a player like Park Ji-sung, who went on to become a star player at Manchester United, he made his professional debut in the second division of Japanese football. And you look at a player like Kim Min-jae, who recently went to Bayern Munich, who's, you know, one of the biggest players in Korea right now. He made his He made his senior debut in the third division of Korea. So you see a lot of cases in Korea where these individual players simply buck the trend and go on to become stars in Europe. And that's what's a little different from Japan, I think, because in Japan, you see a lot of players who go through the proper steps, you know, the age groups, you know, the youth academy and the J League, things like that. But with Korea, it's a little bit different. We do see players who go through those steps as well, but a lot of these star players in Korea, they're ones who buck the trend to sort of, you know, make, they become these exceptional players and they move on to Europe and they become stars that way. So I believe that's a bit of a difference between Japanese players and Korean players.
So that tells me that there's a great scouting network in Korea. If these players have been, we'll say, you know, noticed outside the bigger clubs or ones who haven't come through youth level or youth internationals.
Yeah, and it's very interesting that you ask that because a lot of the complaints amongst the Korean football fan base is that our players have to be seen more. And, you know, a lot of times it actually becomes very difficult for Korean players, you know, once they join a K-League to move on to Europe, because I almost feel like another big difference between Japan and Korea is, you know, Japanese clubs are quite open to the idea of sending their players to Europe, even though the transfer fee that was offered isn't very satisfactory for them. But for Koreans, it works a little bit differently. Unless they get the transfer fee that they're happy with, it's very rare that Korean clubs will release their players. So that's what becomes very controversial in Korea sometimes, because when a club like Celtic, you know, offers, I don't know, £3 million for Oyungu at Suwon, and Suwon don't want to send that player to Europe because they're not happy with the money, there's always that angry reaction from the fan base as well, and understandably so. And I mean, you know, we're talking about a player like Oyungu, you know, £3 million seem like a decent sum of money, to be honest with you. But, you know, in Korea, it's seen a little bit differently, where they say, you know, he's a player that we develop. He's our biggest player. He's just, you know, starting to become a star in Korea, you know, having gone to the World Cup, things of that nature. We feel like we're going to need more money from these clubs. We feel like a big club like Celtic can be able to pay more money for our players. You know, I think that the attitude is a little different from Japanese football. So that's what becomes a little bit more difficult for Korean players to go to Europe. But I feel like some of Korea's best players, once they do get their chance to go to Europe, it's very often that we see them just flourish and become and go on to become stars. Doesn't always happen that way, but you know, that's we've had cases where it just worked out for our players,
which is good for the international team,
no doubt about it. And just the fact that when you join a club like Celtic, I know in Korea there's always that question of, hey, is Scotland, you know, they're not the Premier League, blah blah blah. But the feeling I get is you get to play in front of, what is it, 60,000 people 60, every game, and it's, you know, it's just a different atmosphere. It's a different pressure. You know, you're under pressure to win every game. You're under pressure to win every tournament that you play in. That's the kind of pressure that you don't have in Korea. You know, you look at a player like Yang Hyun-jin playing for Gangwon, who, a club that will likely get relegated this season, or maybe they won't, but they're very close to it at the moment. Play in front of very little crowd. You know, just the way the club is managed is actually not up to standards. It's incomparable to Celtic. So to be in that kind of environment, I mean, let's put football second for a moment. Just to be in that kind of environment where you have to play under pressure, under positive pressure, if that makes sense. I think that's a very big motivating factor for these young players to go on to teams like Celtic.
Yeah, we expect to win every competition we enter domestically, but we also are playing in the Champions League, which is a great opportunity for these young players, even if they're not starting, for an experience, right? Because we are then the underdogs in Europe, because we would not have the, although we're a massive club and one of the biggest clubs in Europe, we have the history, we have the fan base, and we have fans all around the world, but we cannot compete with money from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, you know, the Bayern Munichs of the world in Germany may find themselves soon not being able to compete with these clubs either, because the money that's coming in. Like, our model is to bring in young players, so it's not surprising for us to see young players coming from Korea who have potential, develop them, and then sell them on at a profit. Now, none of us imagined the money we were going to get for Jota, who was a player who wasn't playing with Benfica when we took him on loan, but we could see there was quality, developed him, signed him, and then sold him at a massive profit. We've also made money on Ange Postecoglou, who was a manager that came in that nobody knew this side of the world, unless you were a football anorak. So we have to, in previous years, we've questioned the board and how the club has been run because we failed to do 10 in a row, which would have been historical. And let's just say there was uproar, but that was during COVID, a very disappointing season. But like over the years, you know, we have some players like Virgil van Dijk, who's gone on, you know, to Liverpool. Dembele, who's now, I think he's gone out to Saudi Arabia now to be with Steven Gerrard. So we have a history. So like I think the players and maybe their agents can see, look, this is a path to the riches of the Premier League or now Saudi Arabia. But it's like we don't tend to go out and make marquee signings. We tend to develop them. But don't get me wrong, we'd love a marquee signing, especially with the Champions League coming up. And then next season, the Champions League format changes. So if we win the league this year, we will be playing a tour of our football in Europe, which maybe would attract the marquee signings. But I see the game now going as a squad game because there seems to be a bigger demand now on players. And you'll know over in Asia because this new, apparently Saudi-backed World Club Championships, which they hope to rival the Champions League, like the money that's going to be involved in that will be huge. And that will be huge for Asian clubs to be playing against the top clubs in Europe.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting that you mentioned Saudi Arabia. I didn't think that was going to get brought up in our conversation. But the reason why I find that interesting is because now we're starting to see these big names in Europe going to Saudi Arabia, starting with Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously. But prior to that, Saudi Arabian clubs actually very actively scouted Korean players. Because at the time, they didn't have the kind of budget to sign these players from Europe. But at the same time, they had much bigger budget than a lot of the Korean clubs, if not all of them. And it was very easier for them to scout Korean players compared to Japanese players. Because for Japanese clubs, they were more open to sending their players to Japan at a lower transfer fee compared to Korean players. So it became a little bit easier for Saudi Arabian clubs to go after Korean players who are talented. So we still have a couple of players who are still playing in Saudi Arabia. So I find that very interesting. And, you know, you also mentioned the Champions League. Yeah, obviously that's great. You know, these young players who haven't had much international experience in Korea, but had the talent to really get those chances to be able to join a club like Celtic. I think that's big experience for them. But even outside of that, just the fact that, you know, for Celtic, you know, domestically, for these players to have chances to compete for trophies within Scotland, which Ouyang-gyu was not doing in Korea. I mean, he was playing for one of the bottom half clubs. Kwon-yok-gyu was, obviously, he was playing a second division club in Korea when he earned that move to Celtic. Yang Hyun-jun, also another player this year, was close to getting relegated in Korea. And for them to go to Scotland, you know, playing in front of 60,000 fans and competing for trophies in Scotland, whether it's the league or the cup competitions, it's just a different atmosphere and a perfect environment for them to just grow and develop into the players that we expect them to be.
Yeah, it's funny you use two words there, grow and develop, because I think that's where these players are. I don't think, you know, as I said, they're not marquee signings. They probably raised a few eyebrows in Korea because we were signing, I suppose, younger players. It didn't surprise us because that seems to have been the model we've been using. But for both of them to get into that starting 11, they will have to work very hard and really impress Brendan Rodgers, because, you know, under Ange Postecoglou, we had a kind of a, you know, you could name the starting 11, and the midfield, you know, the midfield is very strong. And up front, you know, Kyogo, you know, Scottish player of the year. O has played sidekick to him since he came in. So where does the new lad sit beside O? Because he's going to be competing for a starting role up front. Is he a different type of player?
In terms of, you know, Yang Hyun-jun, he is indeed a very, very different player. You know, Oyungu is more of a traditional forward, more of a traditional number nine, so to speak. A very talented player, no question about that. But Yang Yeonju is a player who plays a little bit deeper compared to him. He can play on both wings, which I believe Oyungu may be capable of doing it, but he wouldn't be comfortable out wide. But Yang Yeonju can play through the middle. He can play on both wings. Primarily, he plays off the left, but he can play on the right just as comfortably. So there's a bit of a difference there because Yang Yeonju is more of a playmaker, whereas Oyungu is the kind of player who plays inside the box. With Kwon Hyuk-kyu, you know, he plays even deeper because he's a bit of a deep line midfielder. A bit closer to Ki Sung-yo, if you can remember him, a very similar type of player. The interesting thing about Kwon Hyuk-kyu is that he can use both feet. So under pressure, he's very capable of, you know, finding his way out, you know, finding that pass. So from a technical standpoint, you know, Yang Yeonju and Kwon Hyuk-kyu, I would say are actually above Oyungu. But, you know, when it comes to physicality, you know, making that strong, you know, impact in games, you know, obviously Oyungu is a player who, and Oyungu also has more national team experience than both of these players as well. So it's very interesting. But in Korea, it's another thing that makes this very interesting is that we've got all these Japanese players at Celtic as well. It's almost like a third of the team is either Japanese or Korean at Celtic now, which I think is great. It's actually awesome to see. But at the same time, in Korea, there will always be a conversation: can our players get ahead of Japanese players when it comes to competing for starting places at Celtic? It's going to be very difficult for these players, just because, you know, it's a completely new environment for them, and it's going to take them time. I think Oyungu is actually still adjusting to life at Celtic, to be honest with you, because he still hasn't had a full season. So, you know, there's a bit of a pressure from them when it comes to that as well, because the pressure for them is, at some point, we're going to have to win our places and be able to compete with these Japanese players at Celtic. I'm sure they're great friends there at the club, but from outside looking in, the conversation is, can our players compete with Japanese players and win starting places at Celtic? So that's definitely going to be a conversation going forward.
How important is it now for with the two new lads coming in? He'll be a comfort for them coming into a new culture, because, you know, Scotland is a completely different culture than South Korea. Glasgow can be a tough city at times. It's a great city, but it can be a tough city. And for people coming from a different culture, I'm sure it's going to be strange at first. So they can help each other, like the Japanese boys have.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, I had an opportunity to speak with Oyungu towards the end of last season at Celtic. A great opportunity to interview him. One of the things he told me was, it's not even just the culture or the new environment in Scotland that they have to get used to. It's pretty much everything, you know, in terms of, you know, driving on the other side. That's something that they've never done. In terms of the fact that, because, you know, a lot of these young players in Korea, when they play in Korea, they live with their family. And, you know, and coming over to a club like Celtic, now Oyungu is living alone in Glasgow, I believe. So just the fact that his entire lifestyle just changed. He has to cook for himself. He has to do the laundry for himself. All these things are a little different, and all these little things affect his day to day. And, you know, these are the kind of challenges that he had to get adjusted to, based on my conversation with him, that's what he told me. And the fact that he drives to training is different, because in Korea, he pretty much lived at the clubhouse. You know, that's what most of these Korean clubs do. So it's a completely different day to day in terms of how they go on and do their work, I guess. So that's the challenge. And I'm sure for Yang Yeonjun and Kwon Hyuk-kyu, it's going to be totally different for them as well. You know, maybe in their cases, they'll have their family here, or they'll have their parents or what have you, but it's going to be very different for them. It's just like reporting to training, something very simple like that, you know, being stuck in traffic or something, the things that you don't normally experience in Korea, they start to affect your day to day when you are playing in Europe, in a completely different culture and completely different country. So it'll be very interesting. I'm actually very intrigued to see how Yang Yeonjun and Kwon Hyuk-kyu will do, because if you would have asked me 2-3 months ago, I wouldn't even have been able to imagine these guys playing outside of Korea, you know, 3 months from then. So yeah, it's exciting, but it's also going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because outside of football, you know, Glasgow is a fishbowl. There's two teams, and being second in Glasgow is being last. Winning is everything. You know, it's a divided city. there are other clubs in the city, but like they're not in the conversation. So there will be huge outside pressure. And O came in at a time when Celtic were winning everything. You know, top dogs, three trophies. So he's been, let's just say, he hadn't a great game when he started against Rangers in Ibrox, which is a high-pressure game. But we were in the final of the Cup. We'd knocked them out of the semi-finals. We'd won the League Cup, and the league was wrapped up. So that's why he probably got his chance. But nobody was on his back. If that was an important game and he hadn't played well, then he would find the pressure from not just the fans, but from the media. The media can be, they want to sell newspapers. Newspaper sales are down, so they'll tend to find a villain in each team and maybe play on that. So that's an extra pressure they'll have. But hopefully we'll be dominating again, because we feel confident going into the season. Losing Ange was a big thing, but Brendan Rodgers on his return surprised us all. But Brendan is a quality manager and probably more experienced now as he comes back for a second term. And Ange was a kind of a standoff manager who didn't mix with the team, mm-hmm. whereas Brendan Rodgers will have lunch with him. He'll put his arm around him. He'll man-manage and he'll show them a bit of love, which may be what these young players need when they're coming from, you know, places like Korea.
Yeah, and you mentioned pressure. And just to compare that to Korea, you know, let's say a player like Kwon Hyuk-kyu, who was playing in the second division in Korea for Busan I-Park, if they lose a big game on a Sunday night, nobody would be talking about it on a Monday morning. So that this is going to be a completely different type of pressure. For if Kwon Hyuk-kyu has a very poor game against Busan's rivals in a K-League game, nobody would, you know, we will not see any articles in the media criticizing his performance. But so this is going to be a completely different atmosphere. So, you know, and I think this is good pressure for these young players, because you know, like we talked about, you know, growing and developing. For these players to grow and develop into the kind of, you know, the top level players that we expect them to, or we hope for them to, this is the kind of pressure that they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, a pressure of having to win, pressure of having to perform well in big games, These can all be positive pressure if you can respond to it. And, you know, I think Oh Young-kyu is a little bit different, because even though his club in Korea was struggling at the time when he moved to Celtic, it's one of the big clubs in Korea, one of the most popular clubs. So there's some level of pressure there, although it's no Celtic. But for Yang Yeon-jun and Kwon Hyuk-kyu, this is going to be completely different, because if they have a poor game in Celtic, I'm sure the fans and the media will be critical. And that's something that they've never dealt with in their careers. So that's going to be a challenge for them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, before I let you go, Steve, I have to ask you about our two former players, Cha Do-ri, and we had Ki Sung-young. Now, I believe Ki Sung-young is still playing in Korea. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, he's playing for FC Seoul.
Are they one of the big clubs?
They're one of the big clubs. Had some struggles over the last few years, but no doubt they're one of the most popular clubs. He's already a living legend at the club, because he was playing for them before he went to Celtic, and then he played for Celtic. You know, obviously, you know, Ki Sung-young went on to play for Swansea, and then he went on to play a little bit for Mallorca as well. But his wish was always to go back to FC Seoul to finish his career there. And, you know, he's pretty much realizing his dream by doing that. And there's absolutely no doubt that he's one of the biggest club legends. In terms of Cha Do-ri, same as well. He didn't make his professional debut in Korea, so he didn't really have much of that relationship with FC Seoul. But, you know, he obviously had a long history in Germany, and then he played at Celtic. And then he ended up joining FC Seoul to finish his career there a few years ago. And now he's one of the managers in the youth academy. Actually, he's also working a little bit for the national team as well under Jurgen Klinsmann, because of you know, Cha Do-ri's familiarity with German football. I think he has that partnership with Jurgen Klinsmann. So he's kind of, I guess he has two jobs. He has a bit of an assistant role with the Korean national team, and he's also sort of like a youth academy director for FC Seoul. So both of them, it's very interesting. Both Korean players who played for Celtic are now pretty much club legends at FC Seoul in Korea.
And they you know, both internationals, like, so, and South Korea have, you know, always, you know, since they kind of came on the World Cup stage, you know, we've got to see them every 4 years, you know, and they never disappoint.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting, though, because I think this past World Cup, they were able to get to the last 16, which was a massive, big deal in Korea, you know, because that's the first time they did that in 12 years. But, you know, in 2018, especially, you know, everybody outside of Korea were obviously immensely impressed with that win over Germany. And obviously, you know, we were, too. It was a very emotional win, no doubt about that. But for us, it was still a massive disappointment that we weren't able to get out of the group. So it's very, the reason why we talk about pressure with Kwon Hyuk-kyu and Yang Hyun-jin is because they don't have that longstanding relationship with the national team just yet. So if they would have played at national team level and went on to Celtic, it would have been different because they would have been used to that pressure. Because with the national team in Korea, there's an immense pressure for the players. But because they haven't had that, now they're going to get used to having that kind of pressure at Celtic. And if they perform well at Celtic, I'm sure they're going to get their call to play for Korea as well at national team level. So I hope it sort of creates that synergy for these players to really just go on to flourish for Celtic and for Korean national team as well. So we'll see how it goes, but it's going to be very exciting.
Thank you so much for giving us an insight into South Korean football. It's something we don't get much. And hopefully we'll get you back on again if these boys break into the team and are starting to do good things. And can you also keep us posted if they do any interviews in the media over there, because sometimes we don't get to see it until weeks or months after. Something will surface. Dan's quite good at looking after us for Japanese news. So if you can do that the same, that would be brilliant. Once again, thanks very much. Best of luck with your career. And hopefully we'll be reading plenty from you.
Thank you, Andrew. And definitely I will reach out when I hear something about them or when I get to speak with them or whatever it may be. I'll definitely reach out and then keep you in the loop.
That is absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Folks, thank you very much for tuning in. I think Steve was a great guest. It's our first guest from South Korea. And it was great to get an insight into the K-League, the players who have left us over the years, our new players. And very interesting to find where they've come from. And fair play to Celtic for having the balls to invest in these young players. And hopefully we'll get to see them in the first team making an impact. And also, if we do sell them on, the club will make a profit on them, because after the Jota move, anything is possible. It's the football, the money in football now has just gone bloody mental. So folks, it's a busy week for Celtic. James Forrest's testimonial. Some people are anti-testimonial. They don't believe players who earn so much money deserve them. But I think for James' service, he deserves everything he gets. And there's two charities going to make plenty of money out of it. So I'm looking forward to the game. I'll be there. And I'll also be there on Flag Day on Saturday when that flag and the Champions flag is raised again. So exciting times for Celtic. Looking forward to the start of the season under Brendan Rodgers, the second coming. So folks, all I can say is thanks very much for listening. And if you want to support us, we've said before, we don't bang behind a paywall. You can buy a fanzine at celticfanzine.com. And you can also pick up some merchandise, t-shirts, and subscribe to the magazine. You'll never miss a copy. You'll get the digital edition every month in your inbox, and you'll also get the print edition in your letterbox. And we'll also give you a free t-shirt if you subscribe. So we can't say fairer than that. I'll see some of you in Glasgow. If I don't see you in Glasgow, wherever you're watching Celtic around the world, stay safe, keep the faith, and hail, hail. There are lines of mine.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.